FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station broadcasting from the now hiringiowa.com studios. Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday. It is Super Bowl weekend. Friday leading you into it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We are the next live thing on the radio. The live sporting event. Northern Iowa gets Indiana State at home tomorrow at 12:30. 12:30 pregame leads right into the game at 1 o'clock. And then Sunday, Super Bowl 57. We have Super Bowl preview at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Super Bowl Insider, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Super Bowl pregame, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And then the live Super Bowl broadcast, LVII. There you go. That's where we are at. I want to thank everybody for joining us today on this Friday. We can't do this show without our great sponsors that we have. It's Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. We'll talk more about those guys as we move along with the show. So it is Super Bowl weekend. That's what's on everybody's mind. We got a lot of sports stuff to talk about today. But it's time. It's time for the big game. We'll talk a little bit about a little gambling today to see what we should do. B Styles coming in here today. Wants to talk a little bit about the Iowa women's and Iowa men's game. A little bit about the Super Bowl and then anything else that we can get in that 15 minutes. We're going to get it in. Excited about the Super Bowl, Kansas City, Philadelphia. There's just a lot of storylines out there. I mean, the Kelseys and mom, she's everywhere. And she has the coolest coat with both of them on there. She has the coolest jersey with both of them on there. And she's a blast to listen to. She's been getting some good play. So I think she's going to have a good weekend, because no matter what, she's going to be happy. You know, it's the Super Bowl is the, you know, I'm trying to think back during my childhood. I still think the Super Bowl was really important. I think the World Series was bigger back then. I think the World Series was bigger. I think the NBA championship and the NCAA tournament might have been bigger up through. I remember from like 1982, I graduated in 84, was working with a bunch of people downtown watching sports all the time, 89. Football was still, it was okay. Fantasy football's really changed the NFL. Gambling's changed the NFL. The NFL is now king. I mean, they can, if it was not for the physicalness of the game and all of that, you would have football. You would have NFL football on. So right now you have it on Thursdays, sometime Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So there's four. If they could get five, they'd take it. If they could get six, they'd take it. It's so hard. The hardest thing that you have to do is schedule. And how do you get a team that plays, if it played, you know, it's already tough enough. A team who plays on Thursday, what spot do you put them on the next week? Or, you know, someone that has to travel when they play over in England, or when they travel, do they get a bye that next weekend? Is it the last game? Do they get a 3:30 game? Is it a home game for both teams that went and traveled? I couldn't imagine going through all of the scheduling conflicts that you can have with the NFL. Some of the biggest storylines right now, there is no one on the Kansas City Chiefs active roster that's on the injury report. I haven't seen the injury report for the Philadelphia Eagles, but I'm not expecting them to have very many as well. A lot of the, you know, it's Friday before, so tomorrow you may get some, maybe some breaking headlines or something. Most of the things that's happening in the NFL right now has to do more with what's happened in the last couple of days. Today, as Tom Brady can do, or only thing that Tom Brady's handlers can do on the last Friday, the kind of right before, it's going to be the last story on the Friday before you get all kinds of Super Bowl. He filed his paperwork. It means that he is eligible for the 2028 Hall of Fame class. Somebody today, and I know I've seen this before, but I didn't really talk about it. I'm going to talk about it just really quick right here. Somebody today once again said, here's the reason that that Aaron Rodgers is still going to play football. I don't care if he plays for the Green Bay Packers. I don't care if he plays for the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't care if he plays for the Jets. He's playing football. Because there's no way that he's retiring the same year that Tom Brady retires, and he's going to go and have his Hall of Fame induction that he's not even the best quarterback that's being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And once again, on the football field, I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. Huge. How he plays football is different than Patrick Mahomes is different. Tom Brady is different. Aaron Rodgers is way different. The way he does his perception, his way that he handles everything is just totally different than everybody else. Outside of football, I think he's loony. But that doesn't affect his football game. So now, I'm also not the owners or the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, or the head coach or the offensive coordinator that has to deal with all the stuff that he does during the week outside. But once he gets on that football field, playing a game. Now, the one thing that Aaron Rodgers and I both have in common is neither one of us like practice. Just don't like it. Never have. I don't like coaching it. I didn't like doing it. I like games. I like everything about that. This is basketball me, not football. And it's just funny because all the great coaches that I know have talked to, and one of the biggest and for me was Coach Tom Wilson at Dowling. And he scripts everything. I couldn't do it. But that is him. I mean, he's not only dotting I's and crossing T's, he's checking syntax and I mean everything. And it works. I don't have the mindset to do that. But that's also the difference, and that's the difference. When you're watching, I watched two college basketball games last night. I watched the Iowa women and Iowa men's, and we'll talk about this here in a few as well. And coaching basketball is nice. You usually, I mean, for me, now I did it at a very low level. I mean, we had 20 kids. The most we'd have would be 30 kids at practice, and you just run them through practice and you do that. And then you get, you know, every weekend you get 6 to 8 kids, most times 8. And then you try to figure out in the first couple of games you play, you kind of figure out where you're at and who you have. And then you work your way through that. And you can do that in basketball. Man, you can't do it in baseball. You can't do it in football. I don't think you can do it in hockey. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You know, that brings a lot of, it brings a lot of turmoil. Aaron Rodgers on the football field carries no baggage, hardly any baggage. Aaron Rodgers off the football field carries a lot. I mean, if you know, he's you know, sitting somewhere in the dark, taking hallucinogenics, trying to free his mind. Now he's just going to go sit in the dark for 4 days. No, nothing. Just sit in the dark and think. I would be scratching my way out of a house if I had to do that. I couldn't imagine doing that. I barely imagine that I fall asleep and I don't wake. I mean, I don't want to wake up, because if I wake up, I want to be up. I don't know how you sit in a dark room like that and do everything. One more, because we're going to talk some X's and O's here today too. But the NFL honors helping Hamlin be able to thank all the people that helped save his life, and the Damar Hamlin just being able to be there and talking and explaining everything and all the stuff. There are times where the NFL has to go on offense, right? Because you have some owners that do dumb things. Sometimes you have players that do dumb things. But when things go well, and when things go well after a heart-wrenching thing happens on the football field, and how it's turned around and how it's came all the way through, it is so amazing that it's not, I don't even know exactly how to put it into words. Something that Jalen Hurts said today really hit home to me. And it's, I've always tried to, when talking to athletes or giving advice sometimes, even sometimes, you know, just sitting around talking to maybe it's my buddy who I'm getting ready to go check out a Dowling girls and Dowling boys games tonight so I can go see Coach Kevin O'Hare. You know, even when I'm sitting there talking to him, and Jalen Hurts said this today, and I would love to be able to explain it all the way through, but I think it's pretty much self-explanatory. He said, "I had a purpose before everyone had an opinion." And Jalen Hurts' purpose has always been to be the best quarterback that he can be. And Tom Brady hasn't said it, and I just think that I had a purpose before you had an opinion. I would love to have that on a shirt and talk to 8th grade kids or talk to high school kids or talk to college kids or talk to people in professional sports. You have to have a purpose. You have to. And if you don't, there's no way that you can fight off somebody's opinion. Because everybody's going to have an opinion for or against you. It's what we do. I can't do this show without having an opinion. And I feel very strongly in my opinions. But you have to have a purpose to have that opinion. Some of the things I say, my purpose, the reason that I say the things I do is my purpose. And it's ingrained in me. It's what I believe in. It's why I don't get into, you know, I'm going to talk about something controversial and take a side on a controversial thing that's not really my side. And one of the reasons I think that I am fit sometimes to have this job, but you have to keep it dialed in, that's the one thing that my mother and father disliked about me the most, is no matter what, I wanted to argue. I think my wife has issues with me because I like to have, I call them discussions, and they call them arguments. And being an only child, sometimes I get people really mad at me because I will start an argument and then end up on the other side because things change. And they're like, "That's not fair." And I'm like, once again, I'm an only child. You know how many conversations that I've had with myself over 57 years? A lot. And I've lost a ton of conversations with myself. I barely ever win. But I had a purpose before you had an opinion. So if you think that you're going to go on the radio and you're going to say something about me, good or bad, and you think that you're going to get a reaction from me, you're not going to get it because that's not my purpose. And I think his purpose is, I'm going to be a good human being. I'm a God-fearing human being. And I'm not a controversial human being. I know what I want to do. I want to play football in the NFL. I want to take care of my family. I want to take care of everyone in my family. And that's what I want to do. And if I lay my head down at night and I know that I'm doing that, I'm fine. No matter what your opinion of me is, no matter if you think that, you know, I wasn't good enough at Alabama, so I had to go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't really want me. Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. I was a second round pick. It doesn't matter. And I think that's what makes Tom Brady so great, too. Tom Brady is the Benjamin Button of the NFL. If you don't know that, watch the movie. It's a Brad Pitt movie, and it's really good. And it's someone who ages backwards. And you look at Tom Brady when he was at Michigan, and you look at Tom Brady at the Combine, and you look at Tom Brady now. Those are not the same human beings. I don't think Jalen Hurts is the same either. And his counterpart in this, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he was a good quarterback in high school. He was a good quarterback. Quarterback. But Andy Reid and some people with the Kansas City Chiefs saw it. And here's the most important thing they did. I don't know if they kept their mouth shut or they were one of those teams that were out there bad-mouthing Patrick Mahomes because they didn't think he was going to be very good. But from day one, Andy Reid knew who he wanted, knew why he wanted him, and got him. And Andy Reid is in another echelon now because of Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes is totally different than Jalen Hurts. The only thing they have in common is they are the first two African-American quarterbacks to play against each other in the Super Bowl. And that's about where it ends, except for their ability to think highly of themselves and know what they can do no matter what anybody says about them. And that is a great thing to have. I wish I had that. I really do. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. B Styles is coming in here later today. Andrew John may be coming back in here unless I scared him off yesterday. We'll see who else is going to come in as well. You're listening to us on 1700 The Champ, 101.3 FM Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and...
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. Hope everybody had a great day at work. It's the weekend, Super Bowl weekend, all kinds of sports stuff going on. That's what we want to see. That's what we're excited about. Just, I can't believe how many different things are going on. And we have to take some time to talk about some of them, but I don't think we're going to get to see it all. There's too much. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Northern Iowa versus Indiana State tomorrow, 12:30 pregame. And then you're going to get Super Bowl from 1 o'clock on tomorrow. All kinds of different things coming on. You can listen to it live right on your radio, or you can watch it on TV. Either way, I'm clicking on a thing here to make sure that I'm looking at some scores from last night, and I wanted to pull both of them up. I've got them both up now. I'm checking. There is what I wanted to see. So we are all good. Okay. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. Thank you to Woodman Controls. So I was saying there's so many things on TV right now. So I just have to mention a couple of these. I just saw somebody sent me a couple of social media posts, and I don't understand why they want to post stuff like this. And it said, "Hey, I'm kind of disappointed to see on Twitter people saying they turned the Iowa women's game on because the men were losing." Listen, if you didn't have the Iowa men and Iowa women's game on both TVs last night and you were watching both games, you were missing out. Iowa gave Purdue a run, I believe. Down 17 at half, they cut it down. They just didn't have enough. Once again, Chris Murray, Rebecca played great. And I think that was kind of Purdue's thing. Zach Edey's going to be in the middle of the floor. We're gonna see what, you know, Chris Murray's going to get his no matter what. And he did. He had a great 10 of 16, 1 of 4 for 3, 3 for 3 from the free throw line. Outstanding play. Just outstanding. Rebecca as well. And that's with Zach Edey there, who is college basketball's National Player of the Year right now, if it was right now. And it's going to take somebody to have an incredible last 8 games to get by that. Didn't shoot the ball great. Shot 44% from the floor. They shot 27 from the 3-point line. Purdue shot 55% from the floor, 37% from the free throw line or 3-point line. They were 10 of 27. Iowa was 5 of 18. You know, not a lot of foul called. 8 fouls and 13 fouls. Iowa did have 5 more. Listen, if you were disappointed with Iowa last night, then you're not watching basketball the right way. That's a tough game in Purdue against the number one team in the country, and I thought they played really well. They did what, you know, they didn't have a great first half. They cut it into the second half, and then just they ran out of steam. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Iowa women, what a game that was. And when I'm looking at the game, you're playing at Indiana. Indiana is the number two team in the country, and you're looking at these stats here, and as a team, they were 30 for 62 from field goal, which is, I mean, that's almost 50%. That is acceptable. 6 of 23 from the 3-point line. Here's where Iowa, the final score was 87-78. Iowa was 22 for 34 from the free throw line. No, excuse me. That was Indiana. Iowa was 12 of 23. They missed 12 free throws. Rebounds were pretty even, 38-37. Assists were pretty even, 17-15. Steals were pretty even. Indiana had 12 turnovers. Iowa had 18. Hostile environment, I think I could live with 18. Here's the difference in the game. Chisano fouled out. Kate Martin had 4. McKenna Warnock had 4. Caitlin Clark had 4 right at the very end. Chisano had 6 points. Indiana's big had 24. Grace Berger, real deal. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Played a great game. Caitlin Clark had 35, 10, and 4. She had 8 turnovers last night. And I would probably split them in half. 4 not great and 4 that had other, it wasn't just her to have turnovers, but 18 turnovers is too much. But you can't be 12 of 23 from the free throw line. I mean, that's the most important thing that I can see here. If anybody thinks that the game in Iowa City is not going to be different, that was a crazy crowd in Indiana last night too, 13,000 people. There's going to be 15,000 people in Iowa City to watch this women's game. So all in all, last night, even though both teams lost, I thought both teams, for who they were playing, where they were playing at, I thought, you know, it's the closest thing that you can come away feeling good and having a loss. Just wanted to get that out quick because it was fun to watch both games. There's a lot of talent. Man, there's a lot of talent. Grace Berger is something. She is something to watch. And just saying that, me sitting here saying that, just shows you what Caitlin Clark is doing in college basketball. Because I thought Grace Berger, I mean, 9 times out of 10, 28 points in what she had. Now, let me say it again. She had 28 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds. That means in 99.9% of the games you play, you're the best player on the floor. And Caitlin had 35, 10, and 4. And it wasn't like Indiana wasn't Gardner. I mean, they put a lot of people. It is crazy. Women's basketball, especially women's basketball in the Big Ten right now, is fun to watch. Women's basketball in general is fun to watch. You know, you get South Carolina, you get UConn. It's a big deal. Ariana and Dawn Staley going at each other after the game because Geno is complaining about refs. Dawn Staley's a mastermind at getting calls. South Carolina has to play Connecticut. Now they turn around and they have to play LSU. So South Carolina's one, Indiana's two. I think LSU is three, and the Hawkeyes are going to be four or five. So it is. So I take that back. South Carolina's one, LSU two, Indiana three, UConn four, Stanford five, Utah six, Iowa seven, Maryland eight, Duke and Notre Dame. Big Ten women's basketball is tough league. And I want to mention something that David Eicholt said too, and talking about the men's on the men's side of this as well, is that you are the Big Ten is a gauntlet right now as well. It has never been strong. The Big Ten, the Big 12, in basketball. I want to throw the SEC in there because I think Missouri is middle of the road, and I think Missouri has a great team. It's just taken them a while to click, but I think the NCAA tournament is going to be amazing. I think the conference championships games are going to be amazing. So it's just a lot of great stuff that's going on. Getting back to a little bit of football, Shannon Sharp said that if he was talking about Travis Kelce and where he fits in the echelon. He said, Shannon Sharp said, if he wins another Super Bowl, I'd say he's right there with who he considers to be the GOAT of tight ends. And his GOATs are Tony Gonzalez, Gronk himself, and Travis Kelce. And I would say George Kittle is right there on the periphery as well. And I think that's pretty accurate. Shannon Sharp he's a Hall of Famer. He's an amazing football player. Tony Gonzalez is the epitome of smooth from the tight end position. And Gronk, I read those things yesterday with Gronk comparing him to Travis Kelce. And, you know, receptions Travis has, yards Travis has. Rob Gronkowski, big games, scored touchdowns and scored touchdowns in bunches. Here's another one, too. Justin Jefferson today, in three NFL seasons, he has 4,800 yards, 324 receptions, three-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowl, and 2022 Offensive Player of the Year, and he also has 24 touchdowns. I mean, that is crazy, folks. Those are crazy numbers. And then you knew some of this was going to start kind of falling out a little bit, right? Sean Payton and talking about the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. And this is what Sean Payton said today. And I think this is why teams wanted Sean Payton. I think that's why Denver paid what Denver paid to get him. On Russell Wilson, his two greatest allies are always going to be defense and running game. It was why he was so great in Seattle. It's why he's going to be great in Denver. He said that we need to take him off the high dive that he tends to find himself on all the time. We want him to be on the high dive 6 to 8 times a game and then play within himself for all the rest. And I think that's a great way to go about coaching someone, and I think that's being upfront. I think that's being honest. And I think that is what you're looking for from your head coach. He's not going to – last year, Nathaniel Hackett had no business being the Denver Broncos head coach. He sold a bill of goods to the Denver Broncos that he could get Aaron Rodgers to not play for Green Bay and come play for them. And it didn't work out. Hear, hear to Nathaniel Hackett. And I'm saying that as Nathaniel Hackett being a head coach. Nathaniel Hackett as an offensive coordinator, you need to stop picking on, because it's not that he's a bad offensive coordinator. He's had really good stats as an offensive coordinator. He's going to go to the New York Jets, no matter who they bring in at quarterback, not who. But if they bring in a stable quarterback, not Zach Wilson, and I'm sorry, but not Mike Wilson either, because you can't do that. But if they bring in a competent quarterback that can make a couple of plays, he is going to be a good offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. If you bring in a great quarterback, a David Carr, an Aaron Rodgers, I'm not saying David Carr is a great quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback who's 38 years old. David Carr is a really, really good quarterback who's not going to lose you games. He's going to win you games, but he's not going to lose you games. Then I think you'll see how Nathaniel Hackett can actually be an offensive coordinator. I guess I have more admiration and respect for him. Being a head coach, I mean, he sold being a head coach on, hey, I can help you get Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't happen. Another, just a quick one here. I saw today, I started to see some renderings. I wrote so much stuff down today, I'm trying to read my own handwriting. On draft day, this is how the NFL goes compared to all other sports. I think the NFL season is the most important season that you have because it's 17 games. So I hold that number one. I think the Super Bowl is number two about the NFL. I think the playoffs are number three. I think gambling and fantasy football are number four. And maybe inching up past that all the way to maybe number three would be the draft. The draft is in Kansas City this year. It is, I saw the rendering today of it in front of Union Station. It is going to be crazy in Kansas City on draft day. I mean, this is a beautiful rendering. You can go to the Kansas City Chiefs website or their app or look them up on social media. And you'll start to see the renderings coming out. And I think it's going to be crazy good. And there's all kinds of different places that you can go. They're going to have all kinds of different things going on. And it's Kansas City. And it's down in Union Station, which is a ton of fun as it is. I can't believe where we're at with the draft. The draft used to be maybe you get to see the first round and then it went off the air and nobody cared. But now everybody cares and everybody does. I mean, it's the biggest thing going. And the last one in this segment, quarterbacks MVP of the Super Bowl or NFL quarterbacks MVP, just MVP, not the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning has 5. Aaron Rodgers has 4. Tom Brady has 3. Johnny Unitas has 3. Montana has 2, Kurt Warner has 2, Steve Young has 2, and Patrick Mahomes has 2. That's some pretty big company for Patrick Mahomes. And once again, it is the story of all of that. If everything I just said is Kurt Warner had 2 MVP awards. Kurt Warner. You and I. Arena Football. Hy-Vee. The Rams. The Cardinals. It's Kurt Warner. That is an amazing accomplishment to be in that conversation right there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out whenever you want. We're coming back. I got potpourri in the first hour, and then we're going to start the second hour over right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday, Super Bowl Friday. With the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, what a great weekend this is going to be. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website is 1700thechamp.com. Northern Iowa versus Indiana State up at the Unidome. It starts pregame tomorrow at 12:30. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. 3 locations in Omaha, 1 in Des Moines, or 1 in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, and many across the northwest side of the state. Northwest Financial Group, you can check out their mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Also, take advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Welcome, Northwest Bank. One of my the first group that came in and sponsored the show. So extremely excited that they decided to do that. Okay, so I talked a little bit about the Iowa women and Indiana women. What a great game! What a great game that one was. Also, very excited with the way I thought that the Iowa Hawkeyes, I thought how they fought against Purdue. We'll talk to B. Styles about both of those games. You're looking. There's just so much stuff going on. It's just coming so quickly. One of the craziest things that I saw today is Micah Parsons did not get a first place vote in the Defensive Player of the Year. He was runner up, so he was on everybody's ballot, but he didn't receive a first place vote for Defensive Player of the Year. That was won by Nick Bosa. And I can go. The MVP was Patrick Mahomes. The Defensive Player of the Year was Nick Bosa. Game of the Year was Buffalo, Minnesota. Offensive Player of the Year was Justin Jefferson. Coach of the Year, Nick Sirianni. Comeback Player of the Year, Geno Smith. This is Fox's NFL Awards. Offensive Rookie of the Year was Brock Purdy. And Defensive Rookie of the Year was Sauce Gardner. Cannot think that I fight against any of those. The NFL Hall of Fame announced its grouping. Darrell Revis, Revis Island. One of the greatest corners ever. Joe Thomas, Cleveland Browns offensive lineman. DeMarcus Ware, Zach Thomas, Rondé Barber were from that grouping. Then they have I don't want to give this, so I'm not going to. It's a different voting block, and it's for like past people that have. It's going to hit me here when I don't need it to, but it's a different selection committee. And there's where Don Coryell, Joe Klecko, Ken Riley, and Chuck Howley. And it's a well-deserved Hall of Fame. I'm still a little perturbed that Devin Hester has not made it into the NFL Hall of Fame. I think he's worthy. I think a lot of people out there disagree with me, but I think that he's worthy, and I would love to see him get in. This one came out yesterday, and I'm going to give you my opinion on this, because this is a big deal to my three boys, their friends, and all that. A bunch of people came up with the all-time top 10 rappers, and of course, that showed up on my social media today and then blew up my social media today. This particular grouping, number one was Jay-Z. I don't think I can argue that. Number two was Kendrick Lamar. And I told this story to my oldest son maybe 3 or 4 days ago. It was Friday night. I got home after the radio, not a lot of stuff on, clicking through Prime. And it had a Kendrick Lamar concert on there. So I watched it. And I would love to tell you how I felt afterwards, but I don't know how I felt afterwards. I think I was on edge. I couldn't believe the veracity of it and the feeling of it. And it scared me to death because it's just in your face. And now I get how people say he's so talented. And he's brought so many other people along, and he's done so many things for so many people. Nas was number three. I know he's part of that. I don't listen to a lot. Tupac was part of that. If you ever watch the Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre documentary, the thing that everybody said about Tupac is no matter what you gave him, you could give him 20 random words from the dictionary, and in 2 seconds he'd be riffing. And that is quite amazing. Eminem was next. How can you not be? Notorious B.I.G., Lil Wayne, Drake, Snoop, and Nicki Minaj. And the first thing that people, I read this when I came in here today, they're like, well, where's Dr. Dre? Well, he was a producer. I mean, that's kind of, they didn't consider him to be a rapper in this. I mean, he produced a lot of those there and rapped as he did as well. I'm a huge Dr. Dre fan. I watched that. I watched the Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine, a documentary. I watch it a lot because I hope that watching and listening to famous people that do great things can help you try to figure out how to do great things. And I think that is true. And I wanted to mention this gentleman too. And it's Gary, I can't remember how she pronounces it. Vaynerchuk. He's Gary V. He is a Soviet-born American entrepreneur, author, speaker, internet personality. He's the co-founder of restaurant reservation software company. I mean, his Wikipedia is unfathomable. Everything that he's done. Vaynerchuk is now more known for his work in digital marketing and social media. He's the chairman of the New York-based communication company. He's done a ton of stuff, and he was just on Maggie and Pearl, and you just listen to him, and he's like, he takes an idea, and his mind works differently. It's fun to watch stuff like that. I know people, you know, sometimes people don't like Bill Gates, and they don't like Elon Musk, and they don't like a lot of these people. They think differently than we do. They're wired differently than we do. They're ultra smart, but in a different way than all of us are. Do you need to worship them? No. Do you need to listen to them at points and times? Yes. Do you need to do a deep dive and figure out what you really believe in? Yes. If it makes you do that, then that's a great thing. I think that's one of the things that we're kind of missing out on. This one got thrown at me today too. I was going to, and I haven't heard from Andrew to see if he's coming in, but I would ask him this question. Who is the bigger disappointment in the NBA as a trifecta? KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, or LeBron, AD, and Westbrook? I mean, LeBron and AD won a championship during COVID. Russell Westbrook, since Russell Westbrook's been there, I think they might have made the playoffs maybe once, missed the playoffs twice. Now that he got traded away, and unless things turn and some of this new blood, they're going to have a hard time making the playoffs because the West is really, really good and got better during the trade deadline. I would still say for what expectations were that KD, Kyrie, and James Harden is the bigger disappointment. And I think the reason their biggest disappointment to me is it had nothing to do with what was happening on the court. It had everything to what was happening behind the scenes. Because on the court, very rarely did any of the three of them play together. It was just a mass blah. See, blah doesn't work, but neither does saying explicit on the radio, so I can't do that either. So I think that KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, you know, and James Harden, once again, my kids love James Harden. I don't see it. I see how good a basketball player he is. There is no doubt that he's one of the top, easily one of the top 50 players and could be all time. Because of what he can do, how he can dribble, how he can shoot, how he handles, all that. But as a teammate and as a winner, I don't know. I don't think he fits that category. And I definitely don't think he fits in that category. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. It was a great first segment. We got some more. We'll talk some more Super Bowl stuff, kind of go through some of the main items that are coming up. I got Brennan Styles coming in here at 5:21. A lot to come up. Be right back. Here's a look.